Good evening. Good afternoon.
Hey, sir. last week you said you connected a dot. I wondered if it had to do with the free men.
Oh, God, you know, and you sent me that message back, and I can't remember what it was now. It was something to do with red ice and something, and I can't remember what it was now that I'd thought of.
Just to recap there, before I pounced, I studied your case, and I saw that you had some people in your corner, and you said you knew the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the guy is a better writer than I, and he'd researched the matter and posted a video just about the same time you and I were talking.
This is a guy called Matt Hancock I was referring to. Yeah, go on, yeah.
Yeah, you said you knew him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you and I were talking, we couldn't have been aware of it because he just posted to YouTube.
Pretty much, I think he posted it round about the time we were talking, or he posted it that same day or something, and I hadn't become aware of it by then. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but anyway, clearly he was on the case as much as I was.
Yeah.
And he was enlightening me as to some other radio show host that had pegged Ray Dice years ago.
Right.
And he'd also pegged Alan Watt. And I found that very educational because I had pegged Alan Watt back in 2009 along with the other talk show hosts.
Mm.
And I wish I had discovered that guy earlier, because that guy has quit the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that talk show guy was former FBI.
Mm.
But anyway, that said, I provided you a link to some of his older shows because it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And your friend was obviously a fan of his.
Yeah, and my friend's a fan of Alan Watt as well, and I've... Since our conversation about Alan Watt, I've been sort of quite neutral about Alan Watt.
Yeah, well, years ago, as you know, my stint with the internet talk show host lasted all of about 3 months.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no respect for them anyway, but Alex Hunter, who I thought was my friend, who had approached me out of the blue, who turned out to be a very nasty bastard, was a huge fan of Alan Watt and Alex Jones and Bill Deagle.
Yeah.
So, kind of like you and I, we kind of agree to disagree in certain things, but remain friends. No?
Yeah.
So anyway, Bill Deagle had done him a favor and put him on the show with regards to his concerns about... WorkSafe. I don't even know if you're familiar what WorkSafe is, but it's kind of like insurance for injured workers that they never pay. Right?
Right.
But anyway, it was during the election in British Columbia, and some injured workers were asking me for my support that he didn't know anything about. But anyway, Bill Deagle put him on the show along with a WorkSafe injured person. And then never allowed them to get a word in edgewise, because Bill Deagle is Bill Deagle, right? But what it was a huge company called TELUS. Have you ever heard of them?
I have, yeah. We mentioned, did we not talk about them in our last conversation? Or maybe, anyway, tell me.
Anyway, they're a big, big company. And these days, like, you're well aware of the internet, probably more than I am, but there's everything's digital these days.
Right.
And Lockheed Martin, I think it is. I think it's Lockheed Martin. They got cahoots with TELUS.
Okay.
And all the Canadian medical records are digitally controlled by TELUS, which they give to the Americans, Lockheed Martin.
Did you know that, just to throw in, that Lockheed Martin, they did the UK census data collection or collation this last time? I don't know if you're aware of that.
Well, it's directly related to what you're reading in the news right now, because the guy, Snowden, had spilled the beans about the NSA and the CSE.
Oh, yeah.
But anybody who understands the scene knows that happened anyway, right?
Mm, yeah.
But anyway, as much talked about in the news because this guy went off to Hong Kong and spilled the beans about the NSA. But anybody who paying attention is Google was created by the Finns.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, back to TELUS, which is a Canadian company. Mm-hmm. And never forget how big Canada is in this global scene.
Yeah, it's bigger than, yeah.
Because, well, especially when it comes to, they have different names for it, like Cygnet or Five Eyes, or, but monitoring of the world.
Right.
Because, and it was because of what happened in World War II in your country. Before they had the CIA, etc., they had what they called the OSS or whatever they called it.
Yep.
And your country could have fallen at any time. So they were basing a lot of stuff in Canada. And America wasn't even involved in World War II until 1942. And they made money on both sides. George H.W. Bush was
supposed to be the
Germans, right?
Yeah.
It was German companies building Liberty ships as the U-boat sunk them. They were selling Liberty ships to Canadian Navy and the British Navy as the German U-boat sunk them. It was just a money game. It's what war always
does. Yeah.
But anyway, that said, Canada became much developed by the British Empire in this spy game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, but the guy that wrote the James Bond novels was actually trained in Canada.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway, all that said, Canada's base of a lot of sneaky shit. But anyway, after the war, I told you about my friend Mr. Gene. He was recruited in NSA.
Right, okay.
Remember he flew B-29s over Tokyo?
Right.
He got wounded out and he went to college. And it matters very much who your daddy is, etc. And, like, his family goes way back. And it really matters what your bloodline is. It really does. And his great-grandfather was the hero of Savannah. He was Count Pulaski, the Polish count that defended against Cornwallis, defended Savannah against Cornwallis in the American Revolutionary War. Mm. And you've heard all the stories about Benjamin Franklin and Jefferson and the deal made with England about 10 years after the war where they owed England everything anyway. And the United States is really tied at the hip with the British crown because lawyers call themselves esquires, sons of lords. They swear to the bar, the British accredited registry. You know, it's all hooked at the hip, right? Mm-hmm. But back to spying, when the 20th century come about, and then particularly after World War II, when telephones, radio communications, faxes, everything like that were more important, who was right on top of it was the Canadian military, the Communications Securities Establishment, and there's another one even bigger. It's called the Defense whatever. Every now and then I show you where they're monitoring me. What I do is I send my emails directly to their bosses, to their ministers, to their deputy ministers, and right to the feds themselves. You see me do it all the time, TV.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, all that said, everybody knows, everybody knows, everybody know. Everybody in the know knows everybody else in the know. No.
It's true.
Right? But it's always about the money and control and everything. But TELUS was kind of interesting because back when I was on Werner's farm, we couldn't get high-speed internet, you know, because New Brunswick's mainly rural.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get high-speed internet. And the lady that come up from Connecticut, Kathleen Dixon, the whistleblower for Pfizer that was looking for my help years ago.
Yeah.
Well, she couldn't live without high-speed internet.
Yeah.
So the only thing Werner could accommodate her with was getting it from the satellite, which is quite expensive. It's called Explore. And believe it or not, ExploreNet is based out of Brooklyn, New York, and has Bill Clinton's fingerprints all over it.
Oh.
Right? Because he understands all about communications. Mm. So anyway, they access the same satellites everybody else does, ExploreNet. But they need IP numbers, so they had to buy a block of IP numbers from Bell Canada. Ma Bell? So everybody's hooked at the hip. Meanwhile, Werner bought has a high-speed internet cable, fiber optic, mind you, going right through the middle of his farm. And his farm is like, I don't know, 700 acres?
Wow, it's big.
And he had a high-speed internet line right through the middle of his farm going to the town about 5 miles down the road.
Hmm.
And the Bell Canada claimed that they had the right-of-way to go through the middle of his farm, straight shot, you know, to the town.
Yeah.
Yet he couldn't access high-speed internet, even though it was going right through the middle of his farm. He got no credit for it, nothing. They just had, and I'm going, what makes them think that they had the right to do that when internet didn't even exist when you bought the farm in the 60s?
Right.
Anyway, the problem was the line crossed a stream. And I remember oftentimes the cows, you know, they would drink from the stream.
Yeah.
And they would kick the hell out of the cable. Over it, you know what I mean? And like, you've got a herd of like 120 head trampling all over this fucking line, right?
Wow.
And he'd be calling and telling them, you better fix your line or you're going to break it. And they'd good old time coming. And I'd say, Werner, what do you care? What do you care? You're getting your internet from the satellite anyway. They don't give a rat's ass about you.
Mm.
Let the cows break the line. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But anyway, who was the CEO of ExploreNet that was selling them the internet?
Mm.
Was a former higher up in TELUS. And when TELUS had sold some shares or done something or bought something or whatever, he let his cousins know down in the States beforehand, inside knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And his cousins bought the right shares and wound up going to jail by SEC for crookedness. So he got canned out of TELUS and got a job as CEO for ExploreNet. Meanwhile, ExploreNet in New Brunswick is run by this very wealthy family called the Barretts, who are buddies to the premier. And before the election, he even gives them a couple of $1 million check, you know, just to help them out, you know, these poor millionaires. But all that said, I'm aware of all this bullshit because I'm running in the same elections and everything, paying attention, right?
Yeah.
I'm sending emails to everybody, teasing everybody. So they kill my email accounts with ExploreNet and threaten to kill Werner's high-speed account, which would upset his Yankee girlfriend to no end. So have you ever looked at my videos where I went to Woodstock and the cops run me out of town and everything? That's what I was doing there.
Anyway, right.
But what it is the province of New Brunswick, the Minister of Health, who sent me a letter asking the RCMP to investigate, well, one of the things he should have been investigating was the health department in New Brunswick. And you understand our health care is paid for by the government?
Yeah.
Because everything is digital and everything's going to TELUS, which is going to Lockheed Martin. They sent CDs or whatever of all the health records of all the people of New Brunswick.
Yeah.
And the CD got lost in the fucking mail. Too funny. What? Huh? So anyway, it's just like a comedy, right?
Yeah.
And you can see Lockheed Martin, like when I was talking to Bill Deagle on his show, he claims he used to work with Lockheed Martin, and I'm showing where Lockheed Martin are listening to the show and monitoring what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, Bill Deagle freaked. That's when that Alexander F. Jones contacted me. That's when I noticed I went back. I like Google, or I did a search of my email client for your email address.
Right.
And you popped up in April of 2009.
Right.
You were a part of a circle that was included with Dr. Carly.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have known who you were like you wouldn't have known who I was. You were just another email address.
This right.
Circle widening having to do with the who flew.
Yeah.
So I told everybody to go to hell with the who flew nonsense.
Yep.
April, May. And then Dr. Carly asked me to be on her show, begged me to be on her show. And then she asked me to call in a couple of times as Werner and Marianne were speaking. And by September, I told everybody to go to hell. You saw that email.
Yeah.
And then a couple of months later, you acknowledged an email and you and I talked. And then I went to the woods. So that's all recap. Years later.
Yeah.
I see this red ice character attacking a friend of mine. Well, indeed. It's a small matter for me to get to the bottom of him. Like, you know, right? If I just look at the list of his guests, you know, I saw Brigitte Johnstadter, etc.
Yeah.
He talks about Judy Wood, how he supports her, yet there's not one Judy Wood's YouTube, but all of her enemies.
Yeah.
So I could see he was a scumbag without having to read anything your friend said about it that I read later.
Yeah.
You let your friend, kind of sort of a internet guard dog, off his leash, and I had a little fun throwing him in bed with everybody. My idea was he wanted everybody to email you, so I emailed everybody about him. Kind of the reverse. I threw him in with the big boys. But what I found educational was what your friend enlightened us both about some British entity coming to Alan Watt. And this was in Alan Watt's words. Did you listen to the show?
Which one?
One your friend offered.
Some of it, yeah. I listened to it, I think. And I did listen to the Alan Watt bit.
Yeah, well, what Alan Watt was saying, in Alan Watt's own words,
yep,
was that some British entity came to him and wanted him to tag team with them.
Yep.
He'd have nothing to do with it, right? But Red Ice went for it.
Mm.
So I said, I wonder who that British entity is that has Red Ice in the corner that Alan Watt didn't want no part of. Because Alan Watt, I know for a fact, was no saint. Because he is big with Alex Jones and RBN, both.
Mm.
And these guys in Canada, Global Research, who are tied in with everybody else, including those nuts from Iran there, Press TV. They're all like a big, wide circle. There's Russian Times or whatever. The whole internet crowd is just one sewer of bullshitters. You know what I mean? Really?
Oh, I don't know. Tell me about it.
If you go, like, say, to RBN alone, which Dr. Carly just quit, you can see the White Supremacist Party has a talk show on RBN.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, RBN, Statmiller or whatever, he hates the guys that run GCN.
Mm-hmm.
Because RBN are white supremacists, anti-Zionists, and GCN is basically Zionists.
Mm.
Right? But even though they hate each other, they're all playing the same wicked game, and it's all about the money.
Mm.
Just like that guy said years ago, it's always about the money. Now, that guy is a Christian, right? And he's entitled to his religion, right? And I agree with him. It's always about the money. And the sad part is, money is just fiction. It doesn't exist anyway, right?
Yeah.
And what's really real are the people and the assets of the earth for the ones that follow us. Mm. So you have a few greedy people who include us in a wicked game that we have no control over. Mm. And everything is just spin, and it's all compromised even before it begins. Like, who do you think writes Alex Jones a check?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all bullshit. And Alan Watt told an interesting tale when he was talking about Red Ice. But now, back to when you said you connected another major dot, I come right back at you and said, was it the free man?
Mm.
Because I supplied you a link to Think Free UK. Did you look at it?
I can't remember. Let me go back and find it. So
it's right in your neighborhood, Nottingham.
Probably not then. In that case, because I would have remembered that if I'd you know looked at it.
You said you knew somebody in the Free Man movement.
I know several people. I don't think I know anyone from around well, my locality, though.
Let me tell you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, there's a free man movement, and they have a website. It's now defunct. It was called thinkfree.ca. Right?
Okay.
They're married up to these British characters, because it was actually the British characters that dreamed up this free man on the land movement.
Right.
And Rob Menard and Dean Clifford.
Yeah, we spoke about them, yeah.
They're just following on the other guy's coattails.
Right.
It was the other guys that come up with this, explaining how the free man on the land movement works and how the wording in the courts and everything. And what they're saying is true, right?
Yeah.
But the whole thing is bullshit anyway. But anyway, what they're saying is true. And Rob Menard and Dean Clifford are clever men, but they didn't dream this up. They studied other people's work. So they have their own websites, etc., and they have their own CDs, and they do their own speaking tours and make money bullshitting others.
Yeah.
Right? Now, as soon as somebody sticks their hand out, be they a Bible pounding preacher or somebody is speaking the free man movement, I question their motives. Because truth should be free.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like Gideons would give you their Bible for free in your motel room, right? You know what I mean?
It's true.
You have their hand out, right? You can take my truth whether you like it or not. You can check your evidence from your website whether you like it or not. You're just giving it to the world for free.
Pretty much.
Yeah. However, these guys, they want you to pay to listen to them talk. Pay for their work. Da-da-da. And it's just a building of other people's work.
Mm.
But the guys that speak from England, they wear hoods over their heads and everything. They don't say who they are. Right? So I don't think they're much men at all. They talk free, but they're too chicken to show who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I even made a video about it. Yeah, it's a private now because they killed my old YouTube channel, but it's in my new one. But I made a video about it. It's private.
Mm-hmm.
But Rob Menard, he had attacked a lawyer that I know down in Nova Scotia named Peacock, who was in charge of the Nova Scotia Securities Exchange Commission.
Yeah.
And this was when I first crossed paths with him back in 2008, 9. And as soon as he was talking to Peacock, I pounced on both of them because it was just too much fun. Right? And then that's when I become aware, and I was kind of connecting the dots with this free man stuff, because people were teasing me about free man stuff and saying that I was part of it. And I'm going, no, I'm not. I said, I think opposite to them. I incorporated myself. I went the opposite way.
Ah.
You know, I became the chief of my clan. I am David Raymond Amos, all capitalized. I am the chief. I'm the corporation. You know what I mean? I go at it a different way than they do.
I see.
I think outside the box. I said, no, yeah. I ain't free man. I'm exactly the opposite. I'm a fucking capitalist. And I capitalized my name, right? If anything, I'm a libertarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that said, in 2008-9, that's when he was becoming well-known.
Mm.
And that said, the tell is when they put Alex Jones in the movies, and they put him on CBC. I think he's even on BBC now, isn't he?
He was last week, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And so you know he's a corporate player now.
Yeah.
Sure. Like his ass is showing, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw that clip of him on the BBC. I mean, it was...
No. Well,
yeah.
I think I read about it in your stuff. I think you're indignant about it, or somebody was.
Oh, I made some comments about it, that it was just clear what he was up to.
Yeah. Well, years ago... if you type in my YouTube channel that I made and they disabled right away, Maritime Malaise.
Yeah.
When they killed my old Faithful account, I tried to put up my videos again, but they stopped me right away, so I can't add to it. I can't edit the comments. I can't do anything. It's free flying on its own. It's called Maritime Malaise.
Yeah.
I named it after the Fed that was haunting me. But anyway. The one video that is, bar none, the most popular video in that channel is about Alan Watt and Alex Jones. I think most of my videos have like 20 views, and it has probably 20,000 views.
Right, right.
Right? And what it is, it's Alan Watt. I used two different clips. I did a clip from when, this was back, I don't know, 2009, 2010 in there. Oops. They had Alex Jones on CBC. Mm. And then they also had him on that Jesse Ventura conspiracy show, the same show that Judy Wood was on.
Yep.
But before her.
Okay.
And then somebody called into Alan Watt and asked about Alex Jones being on the conspiracy show. And then Alan Watt does his smooth explanation about, he has an expression, what do you call it, cognitive dissonance?
Yeah, that's a well-used expression, yeah, okay.
He likes to go on and on about that. But basically, he says, if you tell a bullshit long enough, it becomes the truth.
Yeah.
You tell the truth long enough and label it as a conspiracy theory, then they ignore the awful truth. Right? People go, oh, that's, you know what I mean? Like, because who cares that the Warren Commission was full of bullshit and how Kennedy dies? Who cares?
Yeah.
But kids in Cambodia, who cares what happened to Khmer Rouge, right? You ask most people today, they don't care how the buildings come down.
That's true. Most people, yeah.
Most people just don't give a rat's ass.
That's right.
They care about the football game on Friday night and whether they're going to get laid or not.
Yeah.
That is the way of the world. The powers that be bank on the apathy of the sheeple. I've always said that. Our number one enemy is ourselves. We just don't give a rat's ass. Right?
Yeah.
So we get the governments we deserve. Right? However, that does not stop ethical little souls such as you and I and Dr. Judy Wood sneaking in behind their mask of virtue and climbing up their nose and in their eyes and bugging the shits out of them. As long as we're very careful and don't get swatted. You know what I mean? Right? So, the best way that I've discovered to do it is to fuck with their most outspoken ones. That's why I was chomping at the bit to get at ICE, but I didn't want to bring any hell upon you. But I said, they'll never say my name, so they'll never even mention my defense of you. And I doubt that they did. Mm. I'm a non-entity, right?
Right.
But what I did notice, because you said you connected another dot, and I big rambling speech to get to it. In the UK, there's appears to be a key player in the free man movement in England. Mm-hmm. And the website is called Think Free UK. Click on it.
Let's have a look on I might even know once I go onto it. I looked for your email, but I couldn't find the link. Think Free UK. Let me just put that in.
Free.uk. It's a website.
UK. Let's try that. See what comes up.
Who the bastard is?
Thinkfree.org.uk. Is it a forum that comes up, or am I looking at something else?
Yeah, look at the forum, because they're making fun of you, Andrew.
Oh, really? That's sweet.
That's why I was pointing out to you. I said, I think you got a friend in your neighborhood stabbing you in the back.
Let's just have a look. So, okay, well, let me just do a search for this. Maybe this email didn't come. I don't remember any of this, David. Ah, here we go. So let's have a look where you, because you got some text and then, right. Let me just sort that out.
There's a forum supporting Red Ice against you.
I'll just see if I can identify any of these players.
I put in an email.
You did, and I've just grabbed that back. Just making sure I've got, oh, come on, man.
I even put the text of it in case it went away.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, that's weird because, hang on. Have I moved it? Hang on, just give me a second, David. I've got it here.
I saved a screenshot of it because usually when I get involved in something, if I embarrass something so too bad, it just goes puff, right? So I save screenshots, right?
Yeah, I don't blame you. I've done that a few times as well. Let me just sort this out because I'm just fiddling about here. Let's get rid of that, and then let's get rid of that.
like almost within minutes, within a day or two, okay, of Red Ice making his video putting you down, this guy started a forum thread about him putting it to you. Right? So I can tell by the nature of the forum thread that this guy was definitely not a friend of yours, but he lived in your neighborhood and he didn't have the balls to have a name.
MOE, that's noun, that's not familiar to me.
You know what I mean? So when I was sending you this stuff and raising holy hell, you said you just deducted another big dot, and I come right back and I said, does it have to do with Freeman and your name?
Yeah, no, that's right. I can understand you asking the question, of course, but particularly with the link. I didn't look at this link before, and I don't know who this guy was. I can't even work, because sometimes they use various handles, as you know, and you can work out who it is from the type of handle that they've used or something like that.
Recognize them by their choice of words.
Yeah, see, I don't recognize this guy. I mean, he's only got a short statement there in red. So I don't, well, if assuming it is a guy, it could be another person. But I do have one or two stalkers.
Yeah, well, I just thought that was, you should know it. I wondered if Red Ice had reacted to you about what I did, because I saw nothing more from him than you on the internet.
No, I've had, it'd probably be his wife that writes to me, and she hasn't written to me again.
I saw where he was quick to check to make sure I posted what I sent him on the internet, because it
right.
did, and I caught Sweden going there.
Yeah.
And he didn't reply to any of my emails, and I saw Iceland go there. And but I'm busy with my own matters. I don't know if you noticed where I took on the FBI last night again.
Again, I saw some of the messages, but I didn't check who you were, sort of getting.
Yeah, I was talking to the FBI. I was talking to the U.S. Marshals. I'm raising a lot of hell. Whitey Bulger's trial is beginning. And I'm raising a lot of hell about dead mobsters and these wiretap tapes I have.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what I was telling you about last week, about Indians and anti-fracking.
Yeah.
It's coming through in spades. I sent you a link, FYI, and sent you a link.
I saw that, the YouTube video tonight, yeah, with the people.
There's a whole huge series. I just gave you the one I was watching.
Yeah.
But the Royal Canadian Mounted Police come out in force there last week.
Wow.
And they've arrested 17 people thus far. But the RCMP actually outnumber the protesters, and they're coming from all over spoiling for a fight. It's quite a circus, and it's and like the RCMP like really showed their arse on what side of the fence they're on. And all that shit's going down in the riding where the Liberal leader just got elected. He ain't saying shit. Meanwhile, people are getting arrested hell west and crooked, and the media's not talking about it. And the RCMP are doing the big intimidation game. But now, for instance, if you look at the latest videos, they're arresting people and they just put their foot on the fucking road. Well, that's our road.
Yeah.
And they're asking the RCMP to identify themselves, and they won't. And they don't have their name tags or their badge numbers on their fucking uniform. And they're going, how do we know you're even RCMP? Right?
Yeah.
And then there's some videos, because I'm watching every video very close, and you look at, they have what they call me. They call me COINTELPRO. Everybody calls me a Fed.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But they have people that they don't know in amongst the protesters, and the protesters are all local, so they know everybody. They know each other. And the ones they don't know become instantly suspect, and they'll go, who's that? Right? And they'll say, this woman's from Quebec, she's not one of us, right? And then they'll show like shoulder badges of some of the guys walking around filming everybody. And we're looking at their badges on their shoulder, and they're not fucking RCMP, they're private security for the oil company.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was monitoring this with me. He's a former military intelligence.
Right.
And he's got his own private security company, right?
Right.
So he's kind of curious who these fuckers are, too. And he's just like me. He knows it's going to be a circus, and we're just waiting to see the circus, right?
Yeah.
Because I was talking to a big Indian last night, Billy Lewis. He's 78 years old.
Mm.
He was part of the American Indian movement. He knows all the big cheeses of the American Indian movement. Well, I was talking to him in Halifax, and he was organizing a bunch of people from Nova Scotia to come up today.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got in a big spit and chew with his people because I don't pick any sides on this. Everybody's got an angle, right? Right.
Yeah.
The simple fact of the matter is the Indians lay claim to the ground. The Crown lays claim to the ground. But it's a Yankee company coming here to take the natural gas from it. And my beef is I'm as much of a sinner as the next guy. I mean, I burn gas in my car, etc. I burn natural gas in my stove. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
However, who are these Yankees to come take our natural gas and give us no royalty for it?
Yep.
In another jurisdiction like Alberta, they get 40% royalty.
And
we get nothing. And just paid off the politicians, you understand? So that's my side of it. Meanwhile, the green meanies, I call them, they think this fracking is going to destroy the earth and the water and all this stuff. And that's just bullshit like Al Gore and his climate change.
Yeah. Right?
But so everybody's got an angle, right?
Yeah.
And I say, I got no problem against hydrofracking as long as they're done safely and take the proper measures and try to protect. Because the fracking goes on way, 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 way below the groundwater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, I don't pretend to be a scientist or take issue on it, right?
Right.
They've been fracking for years. I mean, this horizontal fracking is new, but, I mean, you know. Just, it's a money game. And the biggest players in it are the Indians, the richest bastards around. Like, the Indian chiefs in Canada make more money than the prime minister. And there's 633 Indian nations. The Indian chiefs in Canada are the richest buggers in Canada.
Really?
Yeah. And yet, the Indians, the ordinary Indian on the reservation, right?
Yeah.
They're fucking unemployed, uneducated, on drugs, and no money. The chiefs get all the money. Like, the Indians are the worst to the Indians. Like, white men's bad to other white men. It's the same game.
Yeah.
Right? But, I was talking to the top chief in the Maritime, Roger Augustine. I sent you an email where I told him to go fuck himself. That's Roger Augustine. He was the top chief of all Canada. He said, you can't speak to me like that. I'm talking to him on the phone, eh? And I said, like, fuck, I can't, Roger. Right? I said, you bastards have been threatening to kill me for years. No, we haven't. I said, oh, yes, you have. Right? I said, do you even know why I ran against Andy Scott? Like, Andy Scott I went to high school with. He's Minister of Indian Affairs. And now the latest Minister of Indian Affairs is Bernard Valcourt. He's a one-eyed former cabinet minister under Mulroney years ago. He's from New Brunswick, right? Bernie Valcourt. He's a lawyer. He was a cabinet minister. He got drunk, wrecked his Harley, and lost his eye. Got kicked out of cabinet. Then he tried to run for PC leader. Leaders didn't want him, so they give him a cushy job with these corporations. 20 years slide away, and everybody forgets what a drunken asshole he was on his Harley. He gets elected to Harper's new government, and he becomes Minister of Indian Affairs, for Christ's sake. He's the most racist bastard in New Brunswick. Huh? You know what I mean?
Crazy.
And the Indians, they won't do anything because one Indian chief told me, and the Indian chief, Norval, said, we won't mess with the Minister of Indian Affairs. And I said, why not, Norval? He said, he's the guy that writes us our checks. I said, well, at least you're honest. Huh? It's unbelievable. But never forget, you're British, Andrew. Right?
Indeed.
The Royal Mounted Police work for your queen.
It's true.
Have you ever looked at the Canadian Charter?
Nope. Can't say I have.
You should look at something. Type in Canadian Charter of Rights.
I think we spoke about this a little bit because you had to read them. You wrote to somebody about the charter and you read from the charter and they said no, you know, and they tried to contradict you even though basically...
Will you have a look at something for yourself, will you? Just type in Canadian Charter of Rights.
Will do.
Now, when Queen Elizabeth, I call her Dizzy Lizzy too.
Yeah.
Took her oath there, what, how many moons ago? 60? 60 years ago?
You're just about right. It's coming up for the coronation, yeah, so it's pretty much about 60 years, correct?
Yeah. Well, she became the protector of the faith of the Church of England.
Correct.
And
defender of the faith, actually, but yes.
Yeah, and oversees all the laws, parliament, da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
For England and Canada, Australia, etc., etc.
Yep.
Okay? So she's our queen. When all the time I was going to school, God save the queen, we do it today.
Yep.
Okay? Anybody joins the army, takes an oath to public office, it's to Her Majesty the Queen.
Okay.
When I go to court, it's the crown, or they call it Regina, which means the queen.
Correct.
Right? Versus, right? The same thing in your country.
It is.
Now, we have the Canadian Charter of Rights. Now, Canada became a country in 1867. We have a constitution.
Right.
Queen Victoria gave it to us. Right?
Right.
That said, we amended the constitution, or rather, you did it for us in 1982.
So I see. I've got the Constitution Act 1982 up on my screen.
And you see where it was okayed?
Well, this is from the gc.ca site.
Yeah, but look at the very top of the document. Act of Parliament. British Parliament.
I can't see that on this particular page, but I don't disbelieve you.
Well, it was an act of British Parliament in 1982 that allowed us to amend our Constitution, give us the Charter of Rights.
Okay.
Word is Act of British Parliament.
Yeah.
We are still under your queen. Even though I'm thousands of miles from you, I got the same ruler you do.
Yep.
Anything that they do in Canada, like our prime minister just spoke before your parliament.
Okay.
First prime minister to do so since Mackenzie King in 1947.
Wow.
He was just over there and spoke before your parliament.
Wow.
Just this week.
Yeah.
The Bilderbergers just met in England on June 6th. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was speaking to some people. And about that, yeah.
Brad Walwyn.
Sorry?
Brad Walwyn.
Don't know who he is. Or she is. He is.
Well, he's a premier of Saskatchewan. Remember I stopped BHP from buying Potash Corp?
Right.
It was him. That was him.
Right.
So he became a big cheese. Frank McKenna went. The guy that's boss of NASA, Keith Alexander, the general, that's in trouble these days.
Oh, yeah.
And the latest boss of the CSE. They always go. Every Bilderberger's meeting. It's all about information. Now, who is really behind the Bilderbergers is the, what's her name, Beatrix in Holland or whatever, the Queen of Holland?
Oh, Queen Beatrice, I think, yeah.
Do you know where she was born?
No.
Canada.
Yeah.
She was. Holland had fallen to the Germans, so that the royal family from the Netherlands had to escape to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was born, Canada had to give a little piece of Canadian ground to Holland.
Mm-hmm.
So that when she was born, she'd be born on Netherland turf, or she couldn't be the queen.
Yeah.
So she was born in Canada on ground we gave to Holland.
Right.
Funny, eh? It matters. They got to hold to their own goddamn rules. Mm. So you can use their goddamn rules against them, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
Now, the Prime Minister of Canada, like we have a Governor General who's a vice-regal representative for the British Queen. And each province has a lieutenant governor who's also a vice-regal representative. And each one, even the Indian here that became the first Indian lieutenant governor in Canada, Great Nicholas, he had to go to England to meet the Queen for her to say okay for him to be lieutenant governor in Brunswick.
Yeah.
Right? Because he speaks for her in this province. Now, as all of his fellow Indians are being arrested by his Royal Canadian Mounted Police,
mm-hmm.
he's having his fellow Indians arrested by his police. And the Attorney General of New Brunswick, who I got in a fight with the chief of all the Indians, was a fucking Indian too.
Yeah.
Now, where I was having fun with him is the Lieutenant Governor of New Brunswick and the Attorney General are Maliseet Indians.
Yeah.
The ones they're arresting are Mi'kmaqs.
Yeah.
Indians hate Indians, you understand?
Yeah.
It's funny as hell. Huh? But anyway, they all report to the Queen. All
yeah.
of
Yep.
So it's all a matter, like, the Queen should be paying attention, but she don't care. She's too busy celebrating. But I'm here to tell you, this stuff in New Brunswick, my friend and I both agree, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because mm-hmm. like last week, something's firing up, and it's going to get bad, I think, because if I know any of these Indians, they're going to be shit burnt in short order, right?
Yeah.
They burnt fishing boats and stuff not too long ago. But just to cue you in on American history.
Yeah.
In the American Revolutionary War, right? I don't know if you know this, but Ben Franklin, he wrote 2 autobiographies. There's one that I read, and then there's the other one everybody else reads.
Yeah.
But before the Revolutionary War, he was an Indian agent. Did you know that?
No.
Well, anyway, who he was Indian agent for was the Mohawks, the Iroquois.
Yeah.
Now, they were the most powerful force in the United States of America in the 1700s, because they knew enough to band 5 tribes together. They had a guy called a peacemaker that made peace amongst 5 tribes. He showed, like, you could break one arrow, but you put a bundle of arrows, you can't break the bundle. So the Iroquois were easily the most powerful force in America between the French, English, and the colonials. And in 1755, the Iroquois helped the British kick the hell out of the French. And then the British took over Canada.
Right.
Within 20 years, Ben Franklin and the boys want to separate from the British Queen. So, where he's an Indian agent to the Iroquois, he went to them and was asking, if we pick a fight with our king, will you guys stay out of it? And they're going, yeah, we don't care about you crazy white people, right? You burned us bad over the Frenchmen, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, he said, how do you savages get along so well? 5 different tribes, yet you, right? So they were telling them about what, their unspoken agreements, right?
Yeah.
And everybody talks about how smart Thomas and Jefferson was about him and his friends writing the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
He didn't write it. Ben Franklin got it from the Indians. They put it to words what the Indians had for rules.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin went back to the Indians and asked them what they thought of the first draft. And the chiefs of the Mohawks said, you fucked up. And he goes, how you fucked up? He said, well, you guys separate church and state. You don't understand. Our state is our religion.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do anything unless Mama says so, and we don't make any decision unless it affects positively the seventh generation unborn. Right?
Yeah.
So based on the U.S. Constitution, a lot of it is based on the rules of getting along given to them by the five states known as the Iroquois. No shit.
Yeah.
No shit. Like, nobody's that smart. People are smart enough to reword it and stuff, but almost everything you look at is a collection of other men's work put together, reshuffled, just like a jet plane that flies over. You don't think one man built that plane. Nobody's that smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, all that said, by 10 years after the American Revolutionary War, they were all in debt to England anyway. It didn't matter. Didn't matter. None of it mattered anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all just British contract law, rules of abolition, just like the free men say. Right?
Yeah.
And like, everybody is running around trying to obey the rules, get a good job, get a good house, and a good pension. And try to have as much fun in the meantime.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the big cheeses, if the truth be known, we don't have to pay taxes. There's more than enough assets, in especially a country like Canada.
Yeah.
There's no need for any of us to have to work too hard just for what we have for assets and the people that want on them, the population of this country versus what we have for natural resources. We should be as rich as Arabs.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Did the Arabs pay taxes? No. You know what I mean?
Mm. Mm.
Who's the biggest supplier of oil to the United States? Do you know?
Probably Canada, you're going to tell me.
Yep. Who owns all our oil companies?
Probably America.
You got it. After September the 11th, when the buildings went down,
mm-hmm.
within weeks of the buildings going down, they come up and bought every fucking one of our oil companies.
Wow. Wow.
It's always about the money, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this Indian crap in New Brunswick, they have a point. Because according to the Constitution, right, the British king gave to us 100 years ago and then revised with the charter, and it's in the charter too. The Indians have a right to consultation. So when they invited those Yankees up to come crack our turf,
they
didn't consult with the natives. And the bastards are drumming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you check Canadian history, the last time the Mohawks stepped up to the plate, because the Mohawks, the Iroquois, remember them?
Yep.
They're an international tribe. They are in the United States and Canada.
Right.
They're fucking warriors. They have actually killed cops and got away with it. Nobody charged.
Wow.
They might be coming next.
Makes you wonder if they're wanting to engineer that situation, doesn't it, for some reason?
Well, you know that they are.
Yeah, of course.
Because the last thing the RCMP are is stupid.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Canada or not, but...
Not really.
All winter long, have you ever heard of the Idle No More movement?
Vaguely, yes.
Well, that began by Pam Palmetto. Now, she's a little girl from right here in Fredericton, just down the hill from where I'm sitting now.
Yeah.
And she's from a well-connected political family, and she's a lawyer. And she used to work for the Minister of Indian Affairs, etc. And she ran to try to be the top chief of all Canada against Atlio. And when she didn't win, she started the Idle No More movement. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, she works at a fancy university in Canada called Ryerson, along with a lot of left-wingers, socialists. And these Idle No More people, since she couldn't be a big chief, she fired up all the ordinary little Indians.
Mm-hmm.
So all the little Indians, I don't know more, have been raised in hell all over Canada. Right? And like in Ontario, like the cops, like they'd be blocking roads in Ontario and blocking trains and blocking this and blocking that, right?
Right.
And the police commissioner of Ontario wouldn't arrest not one Indian. Because the Mohawks are there in Ontario, right?
Yeah.
And, for instance, they'd send police to go stop the Indians from pulling this bullshit. And some of the cops, our Indians, would take their hat off and go sit in the circle and drum with the Indians.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
You mentioned this, yeah, I think we've... Yeah.
This has been going on all winter.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
It's time to slap them down, and they're going to use these New Brunswickers as an example. Right? So I think the RCMP are picking a fight. They're doing a show of force because they are a paramilitary, right?
Right.
And they're doing a show of force. And as soon as somebody pushes it too far, right, they're going to come down on them hard.
Yep.
And it's going to be the end of the Idle No More movement.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no media here showing hardly any of it, just the bloggers.
Yep.
I
think you mentioned that the bloggers have been arrested or something, or some of them had or something.
Yeah, it's been interesting. But it's kind of like when they had the G8, G20 meetings in Toronto back in 2010, and they herded the people and arrested almost 1,000 people, right?
Mm.
It's like the police are doing this to justify their existence to get more funding and get rid of an insurrection in a localized area as an example to the rest of the country, telling them back off or the same thing will happen to you.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. Huh?
Right.
But meanwhile, I'm having fun because they might talk about this, that, and the other thing. But I'm throwing in the soup with the really big boys. As only I can do, right?
Indeed.
So I'm just having fun picking on everyone. We'll see what happens next. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's very interesting, though. It's interesting time in a province that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
And you won't be hearing this shit on BBC.
Oh, no. No way.
It's interesting, huh? Yeah. You know what I mean? But if you look at those videos, I provided you a link. I mean, you look at it for yourself. You look at the number of cops and what they're doing.
Right.
They're just old women and kids, eh?
Wow.
But there's trouble coming. And most of these people are all fired up because of... Al Gore and crap, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they're stupid to get arrested.
Right.
I don't think they realize the ramifications of being arrested.
Yeah.
Because in Canada, like, they're charged with a criminal charge, right?
I see.
And before they let them out of jail, they'll make them sign a paper of... Well, they got a term for it. What is it? It's kind of like, you got a name for it. It escapes my, I have a mental block with it. It's like a memorandum of understanding with the Crown. We'll let you go, but you stay away from all the protests. You don't break the terms of this thing until you appear in court, right?
Wow.
And if you sign that, I mean, they catch you picking your nose. You're in jail for breaking it, even though you've never even had a chance to have a trial or be found guilty on the first charge because you broke the agreement. So there's untold number of people in New Brunswick in jail that have yet to be charged.
Yeah.
They just broke that...
That agreement.
That agreement. Like, remember Maude Deeb? He couldn't... He was out of jail, but he couldn't speak to people unless he was in Scotland, because if he spoke to people in England, he'd be right back in jail.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing.
So it's bail, isn't it? It's foot signing terms of bail, kind of, even if you're not, there's no money involved.
Yes, yeah. They have a word for it, but I've walked for it.
I know what you mean, though, yeah.
Huh?
I mean, you've explained it well enough, you don't need the word, yeah.
But so what they're saying is a lot of these people that they arrested the other day are smart enough that they won't sign that piece of paper.
Yeah.
That they'll stay in jail and demand to see a judge as soon as possible. If they're smart, they'll do that.
Yeah.
Some of them are smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
But that said, if the Crown will find you guilty anyway, right? And then once you are found guilty, you have a criminal record.
Yep.
And now you can't travel to many countries.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to go to the States, eh?
Aye.
And once you have a criminal charge against you, you can't enter the States. Like if you're charged with drinking and driving, which is a criminal charge.
Yep.
You can't cross the border to the States.
Yeah, I know. Same from, because there's a guy that I know who's had a possession of cannabis offense, or I don't know, a few years back, and he can't go to America.
Yep, criminal charge.
Yep.
So the leader who are sending these people out to get arrested, they're laying back because they don't want the goddamn charges.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to see shitloads of them arrested. Because that'll force the Crown's hand. You know, before the courts.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of, were they proper arrests? Whose road is it? Did the cops properly identify themselves? Who ordered this? Who's funding this? There's many questions. Right?
Yeah.
And the more of them get arrested, the more lawyers that will be attracted because they want to make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
And then they'll want to appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court because it's Indians.
Yeah.
So the more that get arrested, the bigger the scene becomes. Greedy little David Amos. And never forget, David Amos is all about David Amos, but at least I'm honest enough to admit it. Not, right?
True.
There's more and more likelihood somebody will say my name.
Yeah, could be.
Because I did run against the Minister of Indian Affairs from this province.
All right.
So somebody somewhere might use my name. They won't want my name said because my concerns are like in the realms of unbelievable.
Yeah.
So somebody will say, will you shut up and go away? And I'll say, fucking check. Here's hoping anyway. Huh? By the way, I was talking to my daughter since I talked to you.
Oh, yeah.
Remember I said my daughter left me a message who sounded indignant?
You did say that, yeah.
Well, she didn't answer the phone. I finally got a hold of her.
Mm-hmm.
She was mad, all right.
Mm-hmm.
About nothing that I did.
Right.
But she was mad anyway.
Right.
So I give it right back to her because I told you, I'm the daddy here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But what it was about was she got a call from Werner Bock.
Really? Huh?
Out of the blue. She hadn't seen him since 2009, right?
Right.
And Werner Bock is calling her on her house number, and I don't even know her house number.
Wow. Wow, strange, yeah.
All I know is her cell number. I didn't know she had a house number. Anyway, he's calling her on her house number. And Werner does that all the time, calls my friends to see what I'm up to. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't got the balls to talk to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, he calls her and says, and he's got her number, and he says, you're David Amos's daughter. She goes, yeah, who am I speaking to? She said, I knew who I was speaking to. I recognized his voice. I mean, that German accent, right?
Yeah.
Well, he says to her that he got 20 calls from her number or rude messages.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, so? I said, Werner knows all about that. They were coming to his number in 2009. You've got them before. And I said, remember, you complained to the RCMP, and they said he couldn't do anything about it because it was computer doing.
Yeah.
Remember last year they hacked my magic jack and you helped me get it going again?
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, the head of Bullies Canada had the police trying to arrest me for calling him 30 times.
Right.
I never called him once. But I got to the bottom of it quick. So if I can get to the bottom of it quick, how come the cops can't?
Mm.
Right? But Werner Bock was making hell to my daughter. My daughter got pissed. She calls me, didn't call me back. She got pissed. She acted on her own.
Yeah.
So the first thing she does is contact the cop that I went to see last year. Remember I said I went down to Nova Scotia, went to see the cops, and I said, no, you're dealing with Daddy now, right?
Yeah.
So she contacted that cop, RCMP officer in Amherst. Mm-hmm. Do you know what he told her?
No.
He said he didn't have jurisdiction over her because she lives in Amherst, you know, and he's a rural cop because Amherst has its own police force.
I see.
The RCMP have jurisdiction everywhere in Canada.
Right.
Bullshit. He didn't want to deal with my daughter because he knew how goddamn mad I was because I just called him.
Yeah.
Oh, something else. Right? Because I didn't know about this shit with my daughter.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then she went to the town cops in Amherst. Right?
Hmm.
And, she's talking to a young cop about this, and the cop's saying, oh, it's just coincidence. She says, not coincidence. This has been going on for years.
Yeah.
Werner Bock is getting the same calls. I am. They both know my father. It's going on and on since for years. This is no coincidence.
Yeah.
So the cop's trying to say it's coincidence playing dumb, but then as soon as she says Werner Bock, he says, is Werner Bock crazy? Werner Bock's on trial right now. He's going to go back to court on the 25th, right?
Okay.
So this cop who says that it's all coincidence knows nothing. All of a sudden he's asking her if Werner Bock is crazy. Mm. And she said, what difference if he was or wasn't? The calls are to me. Or I'm being, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he says to her, is your father crazy? And I said, who was this kid? You know what I mean? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she was telling me, and she said, do I have to worry about my kid going to school and all these, because she sees all the death threats on the internet. And she sees the death threats. I mean, they're threatening to kill her and shit, right? And she said, do I have to worry about Regan going to school and stuff? I said, Laura, this has been going on since 2007. You know it's bullshit. They're just trying to get my goat. They're trying to upset you, so it'll upset me. Calm the fuck down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing happened since 2007. I said, I just had a conversation with a cop out west, and he was looking at that shit. And the cop says, you don't think that guy's going to get on a plane and come to Nova Scotia and kill your kids? And I said, no, it's bullshit. I said, what you got to worry about is me getting on a plane, coming out there and killing him. Huh? You understand? But all that said, there's a matter that the death threats are published, the sexual harassment's published, and it's been relentless for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops think it's all funny, right? So, last fall, this was particularly bad, and I raised a lot of hell with it during the time of election because about 6 months after I went to Nova Scotia, by October, the cops in Halifax were calling me, making false allegations against me again.
Mm.
And I had flat out enough of it, so I was dealing with the various police commissions. And I even think I told you last week I was talking to a cop that said all the information in his computer was gone about me.
Right.
Well, it might be gone from their computer, but it ain't gone from mine. Right? And then this guy tells my daughter I'm crazy, and my daughter relays it to me, so I'm trying to talk to his boss, I'm trying to talk to the town council, trying to talk to the mayor. And I said, okay, I was talking to a police commissioner in her town, right?
Yeah.
Last October. before the first girl hung herself. And two girls have hung themselves since for internet harassment.
Yeah.
And they just gave the cops $800,000 to get more investigators. I could do 10 times the job they do for $20,000. But anyway, I got a perfect memory, and I keep very good records. Okay?
Right.
So I had a long talk with the police commissioner last October.
Right.
And he seemed like a good fellow, and he was like on the town council. And he promised he'd investigate my complaint against the Amherst Police Department, ignoring the threats against my daughter and grandchild, right, in his town.
Yeah.
That was October. My daughter calls me. It's now June. I call him back. I call him all back. He's not there. I leave a message. I said, I talked to you last October. You seem like a good fella. But
yeah,
you didn't investigate, or I've heard nothing with you, and this shit's still going on with my family, and two girls have hung themselves since we last talked.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm talking to another guy who used to be on the town council but didn't win the last election, who actually taught my daughter in school.
Yeah.
While we're talking, the other guy calls me back and leaves a voicemail. I say to the guy, listen to this. Right? I'm going to play it. Let me know if you can hear it.
Okay.
Why isn't it playing?
A message. Dave and Amos. My name is Ned Douglas. I believe you just left a message on my phone at home about the Amherst Police Commission. You need to know two things. I'm not on the Amherst Police Commission anymore. And this is a private number. So fuck off. Thanks.
Didn't I treasure that one?
I'm sure you did.
I shared that with the fucking world. Huh? I'm calling like all the locals, and I'm saying, Dave Amos wants to meet Ned fucking Douglas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was a town councilor and a police commissioner. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What can a man do other than have fun with it? Because they're fucking nuts, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why would a police commissioner feel free to leave that with me? And if he knows anything about me, it's like, I love a good fight. You know what I mean? Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the other, I'm saying, listen to this, to the other police commissioner, and you go, oh, Jesus. And I go, yeah, you guys are so fucked. Huh? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you have to do is type in my daughter's names and you can see the bullshit about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. Never mind me. Right?
Mm.
I can be as crazy as I want to be. What's it got to do with a 5-year-old?
Yeah. I
mean, it's obscene. But anyway. As I say, most of it all is bullshit.
Yeah.
And mostly in cops I encounter these days, I think I'm a joke. I think they're using me as a joke, like the other cops.
Yeah.
They get like a newbie on the force, and they'll send him around here, and then I'll tear the guy a new asshole, and they'll go, oh, you met the nut. You know, that kind of, I know they're using me as a joke on their peers. Right?
Yeah.
However, I also know by who's monitoring me and who's sneaking around. Not everybody thinks I'm a joke.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that.
Mm. So, we'll see how it all plays out. But it was fun picking Red Ice in the nuts. And I just wanted to give you a heads up about a free man in your neighborhood.
Mm.
And since you knew who Dean Clifford was, I suspect whoever said the name Dean Clifford is probably involved with that forum.
Yeah. Yeah, could well be.
You just think about whoever said Dean Clifford.
Oh, I can't remember. I mean, it's it comes up on my Facebook list as a potential friend. It's not, I haven't added him on Facebook or anything, but
Dean Clifford.
Yeah,
has been on Red Ice's show.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, Red Ice knows who he is.
Oh yeah.
And now just connect some dots here for a minute. The Freeman in Nottingham is supporting Red Ice's attack on you.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's it. It could be all, yeah.
They're definitely tied together.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
How the fuck would Red Ice know who Dean Clifford is?
Right? Exactly.
And now bear the words of Alan Watt. Somebody in England made a deal with Red Ice.
Yeah.
Right? Now, they call it controlled opposition.
That's right. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So who's ever running this free man movement who doesn't have the sand to have a name, right, I believe is what they call an agent.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Controlled opposition. You get all the people that want to be free, they give them a Pied Piper to follow. He sets up a website, Think Free UK, and now the authorities get to know who all the potential wannabe freemen are.
Yeah.
As they join, you understand? They provide links and make Red Ice seem like he cares by having a prominent freeman in Canada, Dean Clifford, talk all the way over in Sweden like Big Cheese and talk about how evil the Royal Canadian Mounted Police are in Manitoba.
Yeah.
Like the people in Sweden care. You know what I mean? That's just a game.
Mm.
But for the people that legitimately care, who might actually buy Dr. Judy Wood's book and wonder where the towers went, or the people that legitimately wonder how come the courts are so corrupt, right?
Yeah.
Or people that understood Maude Deeb's film where he just spliced together bullshit news reports so they obviously didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Those people that question authority, question corporate media, they get sucked in by these Pied Pipers on the internet.
That's true. Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, be they Red Ice, be they da-da-da-da-da. But then there's others. Dr. Carly is one of them, who I still think is on the up and up, but she just drinks too much. And
follows, I think you're right, yeah.
And follows too many avenues. She needs to think for herself, just like you say on your Skype, right?
That's right. That's what I do.
Self, right? But anyway, I think she finally dawned in her marble head, and she just quit, huh?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think probably the best way for all of us is not to belong to any damn club, and just be aware of each other and act independently.
Yeah. And I think, you and I would agree that, I have a sort of selfish interest in, When I go on these radio shows or whatever, it's to promote mainly the awareness of 9/11. So,
yeah, I know what you're up to.
Yeah, so it's in that sense, it's no different to what you're doing in terms of, we have our own issue that we want to get.
Yeah, I understand completely. I went on the show this year too.
Yeah, yeah, no,
but the thing. You're Andrew Johnson, and I'm David Amos.
Mm-hmm.
You have a polite nature about you that's not offensive on the air. Somebody comes at me halfway, and I'll come right back at them rather hard and vicious, and I'm welcome on another show. But, I have a low tolerance for bullshitters.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But you, on the other hand, when you sense like Dr. Judy Woods attack, you defend her rather vigorously, but in a very polite fashion. Go great detail, refuting it, being polite as you tell Red Ice he's full of shit in a polite way. That's not my nature, right? If anybody should have a talk show, it's you. Right? I would make a most excellent Howard Stern. Only you know who Howard Stern is, don't you?
Yeah, I know the name, but I've not really followed, you know.
He's an incredibly rude talk show host, and he's incredibly popular because he's so rude. In the election that I ran in 2005, 2006, there's a talk show host in Quebec City who was so rude that every radio station that he worked for got sued. He would call, like, the taxi drivers in Montreal niggers. On air. And his radio station gets sued, right? Well, anyway, he was so rude that he won as an independent and beat a Bloc Quebecois in election. He was the only independent elected in the 39th Parliament. The people in Quebec loved him because he just told everybody off. As soon as he got elected, I'm on the phone talking to him. On a personal level, I sent him a bunch of emails. Do you know that fucking whip said to me on the phone? On a personal basis, one-on-one, man-to-man? Why are you picking on me? He was just like a puppy pissing in the fucking kitchen.
Wow.
I couldn't believe. And him on the radio talking, I said, Jesus H. Christ, man. And I was talking about him on another radio show, saying he might be the man that saves democracy for us all. And I was saying that they should make him Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House can't speak, right?
Right.
That's the only way they could shut him up. And the talk show said, make Andre Arthur the Speaker of the House? And I go, yeah. He said he might be the only person in Canadian history to politicize that office. And I said, yeah, wouldn't it be special? He goes on a rant as speaker. I just fucking love that. I said, he might be the man to save democracy for us all. So when I sent my letters out to, like, the general counsel of the Privy Council office and stuff like that, I sent the same stuff to Andre Arthur. And then I'm talking to him about what I sent him and talking about him on the radio. I mean, he's a radio show host, and I'm talking about him to other radio show hosts. You know, corporate ones, not interview ones, you know, right? And, he's going, why are you picking on me? And he immediately became a conservative. Can you imagine? He didn't win the next election.
Yeah.
Quebecers saw through him in a heartbeat that he was a sellout, right? But, I mean, just as soon as he got that fancy job and sworn into the Queen, turned into an immediate wimp. Leave that. That's true. Huh? I can't get over it. Huh? In the election before that, there was a fellow named Chuck Cadman. Right? Now, I ran in that election, so did he. But his story is far more interesting than mine. Okay? Chuck Cadman, just an ordinary guy like you or me.
Yeah.
His kid got killed by some gang members in his town.
Yeah.
A teenager.
Wow.
And the cops wouldn't do anything, wouldn't investigate because the gangs have too much power. Right? And he get all pissed. You know, there's all kinds of murders go down. Everybody knows who done it, but the cops ain't got the balls to prosecute them.
Right.
So he got pissed. He was just an ordinary Joe Schmo. Right? So he got pissed, and he ran for parliament in a small party called the Reform Party that hardly anybody ever heard of, right? And he was well-liked by his neighbors, and he got elected, right?
Right.
Now, he was a guy with long hair and a beard, right? Just Joe Schmo, right?
Yeah.
Goes to Parliament. Well, that party morphed into the Alliance Party, morphed into the merger of the Alliance and the Conservative, Progressive Conservative Party, became the Conservative Party. Okay?
Yeah.
And now this new Conservative Party under the Prime Minister, who just spoke before your Parliament, Mr. Harper, Chuck Cadman doesn't fit in with his crowd.
Yeah.
You know? And so when they have the next election, which is the one I ran in 2004, even though he had been seated in Parliament for the various incarnations of that party for two or three elections.
Yeah.
This new party, they offer a new candidate, and because you know how the parties work, they control the vote, they voted to have this talk show host become the Conservative candidate instead of Chuck Cadman, the current seated MP, right?
Right.
His own friend stabbed him in the back, right? This is 2004. So he ran as an independent.
Yeah.
Won by a landslide. The guy that the Conservatives put up came in fifth place. Chuck won by a landslide. He was the only seated independent in Parliament in 2004 while I was in jail in the States. As soon as I got out and before the speech was thrown, I'm talking to his office. I never spoke to him personally. I spoke to his assistant, though, right? And I said, if anybody should listen to me, it's Chuck. I said, he doesn't owe the Liberals or the Conservatives any favors. They all stabbed him in the back, and he's the only independent in Parliament. He's got a lot of power because it's a minority government, and it's a Liberal government. So he can't be fond of the Liberals, and he can't be too fond of his own buddies stabbed in his back. He should listen to me. So this particular day, I told you the story about me trying to send out emails one day before I went to jail. They killed one email account, and they were blocking my emails, and then they killed my IP, my internet service provider, so I had to take a laptop and dial Canada to a friend of mine's dial-up in Canada, and it took all day, because they kept killing that account, or a connection, but it took me all day to send Chuck Cadman and some people three emails. Now, this is calling on a phone to a dial-up in Canada just so I can get on the internet and send an email. Did I ever tell you that story?
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, after I got it out, then bam, my internet service provider is back up again and working. And the guy that owned my internet service provider company called me. He owned his own company. Smart guy.
Yeah.
Lived in Texas. I'd send him an email, told him how indignant I was. Like, I included him in the circles. I couldn't send the emails. I said, my fucking internet provider cabbed on me. You know what I mean, right? And he got the fucking emails when I got them out. And he's calling me, and he fixed my internet connection. And he was trying to tell me that the reason my internet died was because the clock had ticked over midnight in Greenwich. And that I had used 300 hours on the internet, and that was my limit for that month.
Yeah.
And I'm going, bullshit. What part of unlimited don't you understand?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was trying to say I only had 300 hours. So anyway, we got past the bullshit. Right?
Yeah.
And we were just talking like you and I. And he was the guy that told me about a truck, tractor-trailer truck getting in a wreck in the tunnel outside of Bethesda, Maryland. Did I tell you that story?
I think so.
Anyway, this was back 2002-ish. A truck had an accident inside the tunnel. And anyway, hit the internet cables outside of Bethesda. And half internet in the world went down.
Wow.
All internet traffic goes through Bethesda, Maryland. worldwide.
Right.
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it does. So whatever they say about the national security and everything, they've done it since the first day the internet happened.
Yeah.
It might be the internet web, but it all goes through Bethesda.
Yeah.
It does.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So everything's monitored every which way but loose. Even this phone conversation. Everything.
Oh, I'm sure.
Everything. And anybody thinks that they got privacy is dreaming.
Yeah.
Flat out dreaming. Mr. Gene, back in the 60s, he thought he was so disgusted with what happened with the Bay of Pigs and stuff, he got bought a brand new Diamond Rio truck and put like a trailer thing on top of it. And he went up to northern British Columbia, Alaska, and camped on a lake in Homestead. It built an A-frame building, shot moose and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? He just went back to like mountain man kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
And he was there for, I think he was there over a year, just him and this Indian family at the other end of the lake. That's all that was there.
Yeah.
Way up north. Right? And then one day he's sitting there, and a fucking helicopter landed in his yard. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they needed him for something because he was an NSA agent, you know? And he traveled the world and stuff. And they need them for something because of his connections. He didn't elaborate as to what. But they flew away. And he said, "Isn't that funny how they found me, David?" I said, "Don't talk so loose, Mr. Gene. You know what I mean? They knew where you were all the time." Right?
Mm-hmm.
He was laughing because he knew it too. Right?
Yeah.
And that was like the 60s.
Right.
We've only been more monitored since.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Gene couldn't drive from Hampton, South Carolina, all the way to Alaska and them not be aware, not cross the path of some cop that wrote down his plate number. Huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, that's the way of the world. We're much controlled.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But we're like little viruses. We can make the beast awful sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you and Judy Wood are doing good jobs.
We're trying.
I think you need an applause. And if you can figure out who the free man in your neighborhood is, let me know, will you? Huh?
I might even know the person. It's quite likely, but I can't figure him out from that. What's on there?
Well, there's a little mystery for you.
Mm.
But you can see he doesn't like you.
Yeah, that's good.
Huh?
That's good then.
So, I think you're entitled to know who he is.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
But you don't have to let him know, you know.
It's true.
But I think he's hooked with Red Ice, for sure. Why else would he post that so quickly? See when he posted it?
Yes, same day or the next day, yeah.
Right on top of it.
Yeah, he's obviously a listener, because,
Well, I thought that was the dot you connected.
Yeah.
What dot do you think you connected?
I can't remember now. It was something to do with Red Ice and maybe possibly like WikiLeaks or something like that, because we were talking about that. But I can't remember what it was. I can't.
I told you about George Soros, eh?
Yeah, it might have been connected to that as well. Maybe about how things get funded and stuff. Maybe I was thinking something along those lines, or well, something that had been funded in a similar, or, you know, something that had been funded and then, you know.
Well, like, see, I find it interesting that, like, if you listen to the first show with Brigitte Nunziater.
Yeah.
Now, she spoke, I think, the week before you spoke.
Yeah.
And that's the order of the YouTubes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when she spoke, she was a relatively unknown parliamentarian. This was January of 2010.
Yeah.
And in certain circles, at that point in time, January 2010, at least in Red Ice's mind, you were better known than she was.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And you or him were meeting somewhere in short
Front
order.
Buff, yeah.
Right? And you did say you were well known for climate. Or not chemtrails.
Chemtrail stuff, yeah.
So anyway, that said, at the end of his show, he's telling her about you and him and this thing, bath or whatever, right? But if you listen to the conversation he has with her, now, apparently he has 2-hour shows, but he'll only give you the first hour. He wants you to subscribe to his show to hear the second hour.
Yeah.
So only the first hour is free, right?
And yeah.
The one he uses in YouTube to entice you to come. So anyway, in his conversation with Brigitte, he was telling her about George Soros nearly bankrupting Sweden with the currency. And she didn't seem to know about that, right?
Mm.
But this is January of 2010. Within a couple of months, Julian Assange came to Iceland and befriended her.
Yeah.
And then he went to Sweden and humped the wrong girls.
Yeah, apparently so.
Now we're back to George Soros. And do you see where Putnam put an arrest warrant out for Soros?
Right.
That was kind of funny, eh?
Yeah.
So, there's all kinds of talk on the internet, and I don't know the truth of it, but everybody is speculating who's behind Julian Assange.
Yeah.
And the one thing I noticed is he releases all kinds of stuff, cables and stuff, to embarrass many countries except Israel.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you?
Well, indeed.
And then, if George Soros is behind him, that kind of makes sense, too, because George Soros is a Zionist.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, he's a left-wing Zionist, like the Kochs are right-wing Zionists, but a Zionist all the same.
Mm.
George Soros, as much as he talked about an open democracy, he made all that money by raping and pillaging the stock market. Right? Mm. So he has used democracy for his own capitalistic end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, he just funds the left, you know, and controls the left. It's all about control. So, this Julian Assange is an interesting character, and Brigitte John's daughter in 2010 seemed like a dupe, but she's not stupid. And by the time she had the second show at her end days of parliament, she should have become as enlightened as I.
Mm.
Right? But I think she just became another player.
I think you're probably right.
You know what I mean? But I found it interesting what he was telling her and stuff. And as I say, I don't know. I don't know the truth of it, but I'm comfortable enough to know, and then there's damn few people that are worthy trusting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they hold public office of any sort, you should be very leery of them, because
yeah.
If they're not corrupted getting in, they're soon to be corrupted.
Yeah.
They don't stay enough. Huh? I don't know. That's just what I, you know, that's what I've noticed. Huh?
Yeah.
Hard selling. Anyway, I'll let you go. I was just kind of curious what thoughts you connected and wondered.
Yeah, I couldn't. I can't remember. I think as soon as I thought of it, I went on to something else and forgot. So strange as that may sound. Anyway, yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm really tired now because I've had a couple of late nights, so I'm gonna.
Thanks for listening to me, Mark. Yeah.
Not at all.
Say hi to the family, and if anybody bothers you or you think there's something I should know, don't hesitate to tell me.
Yeah, well, if there's anything that comes up, then yeah, definitely.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah, you take care. Yep. Speak again soon.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Bye.